try not to rant too much.
Welcome to the Nebraska Hawksmen. These guys are brave. They're Hawkeyes living in enemy territory. Listen, these guys are way past their prime, but they're still Hawkeyes. They're spreading the Hawkeye hype to all of Nebraska. The Frost Advisory is canceled. Corn Huskers? More like Corn Suckers. Are you ready for this podcast? Let's go, Hawks!
All right, welcome back to the Nebraska Hawks Nest, your bitter Hawkeye oasis located in a Nebraska desert. We're doing a special show for you guys today for all of the grieving Hawkeye fans out there that watched our team completely poop the bed yesterday. That was hard to watch, boys. We needed to get together and have a venting session, a little bit of therapy for us and for all the other Hawkeye fans. Guys, make sure to hit the like and subscribe button, notification bell and all, so we can keep doing these videos, keep spreading the Hawkeye love throughout Nebraska and beyond. Even though they took the Heroes Trophy from us, the Corn Belt is gone. I'm in negotiations with a couple Husker fans right now to hand that over for the next year. And we're not going to be having it. So, but first of all, this special episode, very, very fitting since we sucked so bad yesterday, is brought to you by Suck It Vacuum Repair. Because if it doesn't suck, we give up. So that's very fitting for today. They stepped up and wanted to sponsor this one. So we appreciate everybody at Suck It Vacuum Repair. Guys, Iowa 17, Nebraska 24. They were up 24-0 at one point. I remember I looked over at Matt in the first 2 to 3 minutes of this game and said, I'm a little worried right now. Nebraska was playing at a speed that we couldn't match. You know, you would have thought they were playing for the West Division Championship the way that they played. Sloppy, unorganized, unconventional Iowa football. Kyle, I'm going to start with you. Let me know what your thoughts are from what you saw from your perspective. And I think this game, the outcome really surprised us all.
Yeah, I was really surprised too. I was outside washing our cars and was tuning in a little bit late within, I think, halfway through the second quarter. And as soon as I checked in, I was expecting to hear that, you know, Hawkeyes are buzzing around, we're doing great. It's going to be another Vic. And sure enough, I can't remember what the score was. I think it was, it might have been 24-0 at that point. I can't remember. But I remember, you know, I was very surprised. I was very disappointed. And, you know, it was one of those things where I stopped what I was doing and started watching a little bit. And, man, I noticed, you know, in Nebraska, they were humming around. Everybody was flying to tackles. And, you know, Iowa, I immediately thought about our conversation on our last podcast about how, you know, what I was afraid of, of happening did happen. Nebraska's got really nothing to lose. And so it's, you know, whatever speech their captains came up with, whatever happened in the locker rooms behind the scenes during the week of preparation, you know, they wanted to go out with a bang, and Iowa might have rested on their laurels a little bit and sat back and relaxed, thinking that this was going to be a pushover. I don't know. There's a breakdown, obviously, somewhere.
Yeah, Matt, we look completely disheveled and unprepared for that game yesterday. The team did not come out looking like they were ready to play in this football game whatsoever. What are your thoughts from that horrendous performance? And tell us what you saw from your perspective.
Well, I saw a whole team that was they didn't act like they wanted to be there. They all played really choppy. everything that could go wrong did go wrong. We had some injuries that unfortunately didn't help our situation out anymore either. I don't know if they didn't practice on Thanksgiving, had too much turkey. They were too slow from that. I'm not sure, but Nebraska was clicking on all cylinders. They made us look like a junior college team, that's for sure. They definitely deserved to win. When you let somebody go up 24-0 in the first half on you and on an offense that can't score very many points, I mean, that's just recipe for disaster right there.
Yeah, no, you're right, Marty. I don't know how things what the atmosphere was at the Sauce House, but a Hawkeye fan put on Twitter. He showed a picture of someone screaming in the background there.
Got kids playing Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right,
and kids are outside having fun.
Someone sounded like they were getting abducted there. I got a little worried. but Marty, I don't
they
know.
They are
how things
on the street, so who knows? Okay.
All right. Keep an eye on those kids. Marty,
I'm watching them.
I don't know what things were like at your house in the atmosphere. A Hawkeye fan posted on Twitter a shattered 70-inch big screen TV, said that they had 35 house guests over, and he punched the big screen TV and ruined it, smashed it, and all the guests left and his wife packed their bags and took the kids to stay at her mom's house for the week. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, don't get me wrong, the thought crossed my mind, but what was it
there
like
were
in your house?
Bill caps flying around at your house, Adam. Yes.
Marty, what tell
nothing,
us about
nothing expensive.
What was your thoughts, sorry, Marty, on what you saw?
Well, Matt and Kyle are being nice and professional. I learned three things from this game yesterday. Number one, baby boy Brian has to go. Spencer should never have taken a snap this entire season. And the third one is Cooper DeJean is a stud, and we missed him.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a fact or not, but I read somewhere where all 24 points were scored on Cooper DeJean's backups.
Yeah. I read the same exact stat that every single point Nebraska scored was tied to that freshman. Now, how can there be that big of a gap? I know Cooper's a great player, but if we lack depth that bad, again, the transfer portal, you know, why don't we get a couple guys that we can build a little bit of this depth, that there's that big of a drop off? It's a football. It's not common for a guy like Cooper to make it the whole season and not have to come out a little bit for getting nicked up or banged up. And you're completely unprepared with no depth whatsoever. The receivers that he was guarding, Marty, I don't know if that he was defending, they were getting 10 to 12 yards of separation on him. I mean, he looked like he had no clue what he was doing. I'm going to be honest. Matt said I could have defended that guy better. And I kind of believe Matt that he could. I mean, the guy looked like he didn't have any
maybe
business.
Maybe not today.
Maybe not today, but he didn't look like he had any business playing NAIA or Division III football. I mean, it was horrendous. And go ahead.
You know, something that Brian Ferentz could have learned from yesterday, though, you got to give it to Nebraska in the fact that they went right after that position.
Yeah.
I mean, they made strategy change even mid-series. They made strategy change.
Yeah.
We don't make strategy changes mid-season.
No.
I mean, come on.
No. You're 100% right. Under this coaching regime, that's just not going to happen, no matter what. I mean, it is what it is. They stick to their formula, but you got to give it to Mickey Joseph. Like Kirk Ferentz, you know, you're in your 24th season. You got out-coached by Mickey Joseph big time.
Yes.
Mickey Joseph coached circles around you. Okay, we want to say, and I'm going to go off on a rant, Kirk, we want to say he's a legend and all these other things. No, I'm sorry. He's a great coach and a great guy, but you don't deserve to have the job security when you go 7-5 and lose to a 3-7, 3-8 team like we did. That was pathetic. Nobody on that field looked prepared to play. Yeah, with exception of maybe Jack Campbell. I mean, the defense hasn't looked elite like they normally have. You know, Casey Thompson threw the ball all over us. I mean, it was pathetic. And there needs to be changes made. The Iowa administration needs to step up and hold some people accountable, that you can't go 7-5, 8-4, 6-6, never win a Big Ten championship and be untouchable. That right there is why, Marty, why we don't make adjustments, because he doesn't need to. He doesn't. He knows that if he does what he does now and goes 7-5, he's fine. He's never going to lose his job ever. That's not healthy in Division I college football. And guess what, guys? It's only going to get more difficult going forward with Nebraska hiring Matt Rhule. I don't know how much you guys know about Coach Rhule, but he's a hell of a football coach. I mean, that was a home run hire from them. That is best case scenario. Granted, he got fired in the NFL. Everybody gets fired in the NFL at some point. It just happens no matter what.
Seems like, you know, it. They rotate.
He turned Temple around. I mean, who gets Temple to be a strong football program? Matt Rhule did. Matt Rhule was the reason why Baylor football is as good as it is. And, you know, the guy is a player developer. That's what he is. That's what Nebraska needs. A lot of people, you know, and we don't know how long he's going to stick around. A lot of people think he's going to go there, get Nebraska on the right track and bounce to a better job. You know, you can't see the future, but I wanted to start out and get your guys' opinions. I'm going to start with the sauce. What do you feel with this coaching hire? What grade would you give this, Marty?
I'd give it a good grade. I don't know a lot about Matt Rhule, but he certainly comes with a lot of praise and a good reputation. I think you hit it on the head when you said in the NFL, you really can't compare coaching in the NFL to coaching in college. It's just completely different. Same way with basketball, college basketball to the NBA. It's a whole different mentality. So I think it's a good move. I think it's going to take a few years.
What is going on there?
Apparently they're out riding bikes. Well, motorcycle driving.
Oh, we got an extreme podcast today. This is awesome.
Matt, I didn't know I was going to see a motorcycle drag race while we were podcasting.
From the fields of Iowa.
I'm in Nebraska. I'm in enemy territory.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Matt, what do you
think? They're getting
Matt,
crazy out here.
Matt, then Kyle, right after Matt, what do you think about the hire of Matt Rhule at Nebraska? What grade would you
give that? I agree with you. I think it's going to be a good hire for them. I think he's going to turn the program around. I don't know how fast he's going to turn it around. I think it's going to take some time as big as that hole is, but the money they have in the NIL and being able to buy some players that way could turn that program around faster than what we would think, which is even going to be even worse for the Hawkeyes going forward. So, I mean, great hire. He's going to do a lot there, and it's going to be scary what he's capable of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're in a lot of trouble, Kyle. I don't know, Kyle, you know, we know it's well noted. You're a big soccer guy, and that's where your passion is. So do you know much about Coach Rhule at all?
I don't. I just hope that, you know, Nebraska looks, you know, does a deep dive into the past decade. Well, I should say past two decades. And I know that they have in the past, but I hope they did it right, did it more this time. Anytime there's a coaching change, you always think that, like, hey, look, as, you know, fans might look at it as, oh, he's not the right guy, or, you know, the other side of the fan saying, oh, he's great and stuff. I just hope that, like, whoever's in charge of making those decisions has done it the right way, and you hope that they've done the research. And if they've made this decision and they want this guy, regardless of his history or background, I just hope it's the same. I just hope that, you know, it's I just hate seeing coaching change after coaching change. I think about the players. That sucks, man. You know, it really does. I'm very fortunate, and I know, you know, we can talk about Coach Ferentz, you know, whether or not he should go or stay. But for me as a player, it's actually still really kind of cool to know that he's still there. And when I go back to visit, like, it's just like old times.
Yeah.
So. No, and I, like I said, you know, we're frustrated. I think Coach Ferentz has done a lot of great things, but, you know, he's at that point where Paterno was, where Bobby Bowden was, you know, Philip Fulmer, maybe at Tennessee, where you maybe stay too long and you lose touch with the way things are developing, and the way that the game is changing. And it really just seems like, he's unwilling to evolve with it. And some of the things he does are great. And, you know, and again, I don't know, tons of respect for what he's done for us, but it's very, very evident that there needs to be some wholesale changes in the athletic department.
real quick, my hope, you know, in the locker room, behind the scenes, every single person, every single player was held accountable for their actions by other players, upperclassmen. It didn't matter who it was. I just hope that if, you know, when the coaches look at everything and they analyze the game and all that stuff and look at all the footage, I hope that, someone is holding him accountable too, you know, because, you know, Coach Ferentz, he might be able to point fingers at Brian, at whoever else. But I just hope that he, and I've never been in the room with him when this goes down. So it may be happening. I don't know. I just don't know how open Coach Ferentz is to, number one, receiving productive criticism, but also, is there someone in the room that's saying, hold on a minute here, you know, like, because every once in a while someone needs to get punched in the face and the, excuse my language, but the balls at the same time with life, you know.
Yeah.
And everyone deserves that every once in a while.
You know, Marty, I want to see, you know, to wrap things up, because this is going to be a quicker one, but Nebraska wanted it more. They were crisper. They were cleaner. They played with more passion. And again, you never would have thought in a million years, like, you know, that this win would have made Kirk third all time for most wins in the Big Ten as a head coach, behind Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes. He'd have been number three. They had that to play for. They had a West Division championship and a Big Ten title game appearance to play for. None of that seemed to really motivate these guys too much, because, like, you know, like Matt and Kyle said, and you said too, they didn't seem like they wanted to be out there. It just, they didn't have it. And then you get down 24-0 and decide, okay, we better get going now. Yeah, this offense can't dig us out of a 24-0 hole. They're not built to do that. Marty, what are your thoughts and what's your gut feeling on if there's going to be changes in the off season and what those might be?
Well, kind of like what I said before, I think whether you believe in Brian Ferentz or not, I think the choice has to be for him to step down, step aside. Because otherwise I think you're going to get the same stuff next year. It'll be a different quarterback, I don't think we'll have a different running back, but, you know, maybe some different offensive players, but it's going to be the same story.
Yeah.
And fans will be looking at that very, very closely.
Yeah, you're right.
What would happen, you know, what happens on the off season.
I think it's pretty clear that Padilla is not the answer. I mean, he just can't make those throws. He just can't. And so at least we got a chance to really see that, you know.
Well, let me ask something too of you guys. Did you guys notice, maybe it was just me, but did you notice that when they brought Padilla in, the whole offense changed to running, and all of a sudden you saw the holes? Our O-line was doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But when they had Spencer in, it was 75-80% throwing.
Yeah.
Why can't we establish that run with Spencer? I didn't understand the whole strategy of the play calling.
There is,
why isn't there balance? There's no balance with any of them.
No,
it's like you got to establish that balance. I mean, that's how Iowa's always been, and then you go away from it here. And
yeah.
I mean, they score. It was 17-0 in the second half. I mean, we scored everything and stopped them completely. It's just we didn't have it at first. They came out ready to play against us, and they wanted it worse. And it took us a long time to figure out how to stop them. And
yeah,
you know, there's some fortunate things that happened for us that we that made it to where they didn't score. But this is going to be a gut check for Kirk Ferentz, I think, whether or not he can do the right thing with the offense and make the changes that are needed. If that's, you know, with Brian stepping down or whatever, but they definitely need to make a lot of changes there.
I think Kyle hit it on the head when he said, is there anybody in that coaching office that's going to tell him what he needs to hear, not what he wants to hear? That's the biggest thing, because as a coach, and even just as a boss in corporate America, Marty, you know this too. You didn't want to surround yourself with guys that are just going to agree with you all the time. You want to hear the people that are around you. You want to hear their perspectives on how you can be better, how you can evolve, and how you can change. It doesn't feel like that's the case. Now, we could be wrong. It just doesn't feel that way. Now, Matt, do you feel like, what is your thoughts? Do you really feel like there's going to be changes in the offseason? Are we going to see maybe a LeVar Woods be moved to offensive coordinator? Are we going to see any changes, or do you think we're going to go right back to what we have right now. Maybe Spencer, if he wants to, he could technically come back for one more year.
I mean, at this point, I think you have to make changes to make it better. I mean, there's nothing else you can do. If you don't make changes, you're going to get the same results, and then you're going to be forced to make changes, and then it gets nasty. And I don't want that. No Hawkeye fan wants that. No. So I think it'd be better if they did it in the off season, and if they did it quietly and just made the changes they need to make. They need to go to the transfer portal, like we talk about 100 times,
yeah,
and utilize that if they're short on positions. It just needs to happen.
It just,
use the tools given to you.
Yeah, and we're not right now. We're not
using We're not adapting.
Guys, I've really backed myself in a corner here with my wardrobe. I had, for the first time in a long time, got into my closet to wear some casual clothes, and I'm like, I'm going to wear something that's not Hawkeye today. Not really anything to choose from, my friends. I'm committed to this wardrobe, and I backed myself in a corner. I'm going to get a lot of hell as soon as I step out on into the city of Omaha.
So let me ask this question. Maybe this is more towards Kyle, since he's been in that locker room.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the theory? And this is just a theory, that you really think that Spencer was hurt. Do you think so? And do you think that maybe his attitude of not even wanting to be out there kind of spread to the team before the game?
I mean, there's always a bit of, there's a small part of, I think, all the conspiracy theorists, but, who knows, man? What I saw go on behind the scenes, it wasn't, there were a lot of people. Of course, we didn't have too much social media at the time. I mean, there were reporters and photographers in there, every once in a while they were asked to get out, even during halftime and before and after games. And, I don't know exactly how to answer that, other than to say that anything's possible, man. I mean, there could have been communication, and they wanted to do it, professionally. And if he is injured, he's got, whatever bowl game, whatever prep now, to milk that and take care of it. And, I don't know, man, that's a tough one. But for me personally, I there's a bit of conspiracy theorists in all of us, and it wouldn't surprise me if something like that went down,
Yeah.
Just the way they played, and they just didn't come to play. And
not at all.
No, I hadn't. You saw the lack of talent this year at certain positions, but see this kind of attitude in which they just weren't ready, or they didn't even seem to feel like they wanted to be out there. I hadn't seen that all year.
The fumbling was insane. How many times were putting the ball down? Like, we fumbled 4 times, lost 3 of them. Like, what in the hell is
turnover margin on? Ridiculous.
You might as well, at the end of the day, Gary Barta might as well just step down and let Kirk be the athletic director, because that's how it is right now anyway. We don't have an athletic director that we can trust to do the right thing for the fans and for the program. And with things continually moving in this direction like they have, with no urgency to make any sort of changes whatsoever, most fans feel like they're held hostage to the product that we're going to be dealing with. So
we kind of are.
We are. I mean, but there's certain fans that are happy with the way that things are. And, their voice matters too. As much as we disagree with it, I'm not one of those guys that's going to call someone an idiot for feeling that way, because you deserve to have an opinion just as much as any of us. You could completely disagree with us. I had a guy that reached out that said, "You guys have the best Hawkeye podcast there is. I love it. I don't agree with 90% of what you guys say, but it's the most well done." And I said, "All right, well, that was the most backhanded compliment I've ever gotten in my life. Thank you very much." So anyway, guys, I love you.
All right.
I appreciate all, you guys coming on like this last second. Everybody that's listening, we'll come back for a bowl game episode. And then after that, I think we're going to have to sit around myself and the Sauce and Matt, and maybe teleconference Kylan over some stiff drinks and talk about what we're going to do in the off season for a little bit more podcast material. I don't think we're going to take as long as a break as we did last year, but we're going to come out with a different format in the off season. So you guys were wonderful this year. You guys kicked ass. Especially when my internet went down multiple times, I was like, honestly, it was like a proud papa. Like I was listening and I had a smile on my face the whole time. But you guys did so freaking great. And, just to see, you know, I've told Matt and then Kyle and then Marty too, like you guys have all grown so much with doing this podcast and, how you guys contribute that we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you for everything. And it was a frustrating season, but you guys definitely made it a lot more fun, and you guys were wonderful this year. So thank you for everything you guys have done.
We're like therapists for each other, man.
That's right. Yeah. We got each other's backs. That's what's important. We're all Hawkeye fans. We're in this together. Yeah.
And freaking Marty comes in his first year with us, kicks our ass on the pick'em, and then just comes in like a seasoned vet and just does such a great job.
Not even fair. Not even fair.
That's why I always want to say I want to be Marty when I grow up.
when I watched our first podcast this year, was my first podcast I ever watched.
Really?
Let alone joined one.
That's hilarious.
Now you're co-host on one. So that's
awesome. Hey, Marty, I got a question for you. Adam wants to be you when he grows up. Who do you want to be when you grow up?
Ooh, that's deep.
I'm already grown up.
He wants to be the Omaha Hugh Hefner.
There you go.
All right. I want to meet Candy. That's what I want. I just want to
meet Candy. There you go.
Hey, that's a goal. I promise that I did. You see that comment, Kyle, about your kitchen table? The guy's like, oh, there's candles by Candy there. I thought that was fantastic.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I'm going to work on getting her to make an appearance.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do my best. So, all right, guys, I love you. It was a great year, and we'll have a bowl game episode coming up here in a couple weeks. So, go Hawks!
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks! Go Hawks.